There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Back everybody to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 266. Gonna have a returning guest to the show. Gonna talk about some alternative options to play in fantasy baseball in these weird days we have ahead of us. You can find him on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson and all of his awesome work at rotowire.com. Jeff, how we doing, man?
Doing well. You know, I'm doing more podcasts, it seems like. I did Chris Harris's football one last night. I'm doing yours today. I'm happy to do that. You know, it's happy to be. It's a nice diversion to actually talk about what we do, as opposed to just keeping up on the news and the constant drumbeat of news. So, it's a pleasure to do this.
I appreciate it. That's one thing. When you say that, I try to kind of keep with the beat of the drum even through all the toughness, because it seems like as down as the days can be, getting on the mic and just talking about what we love to talk about, it makes life so much better. So, and if we could help anybody pass the time, it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly.
So the reason why I got in touch with you, besides just talking baseball in general, is I learned from you a long, long time ago that you were in a Stratomatic League years ago. And I hear you mention it every draft season. You talk about it off and on throughout the season. And I had a listener ask us about Stratomatic because he has a little home league he plays in. And I thought it'd be a fun idea. I saw Stratomatic's actually going to simulate the 2020 season while we're in waiting, and they're going to do little write-ups on it and everything. So we'll just start out with the simple part. What is Stratomatic Baseball from your experience? What is it?
Okay, so it's a simulation game. You know, it's opposed to fantasy, and there's a fantasy element to it, but as opposed to like Roto or head-to-head or any other points league, it's trying to simulate real-life baseball. You set your lineup, you choose who your starters are, how deep into games they go, who the closer is, who, you know, your platoons, your defense matters. You know, it's not, you're not chasing stolen bases. You're not chasing closers. You're setting your lineup. And it's, as opposed to something like Scoresheet, Stratomatic, you actually know all the stats of the players going in. You have a core of, and you can have a redraft league, or you can do what I do. I'm in this monster 30-team strat keeper league where we keep, you know, I think 18, 19 players, no, 20 players even. But, you know, there's no minor leaguers. It's all guys that have played, you know, played a minimum threshold of innings before to be even eligible to have a card. Or sometimes a guy misses a whole season, so you have an uncarded player that doesn't count against your limit, and you can hold on to him and wait out the injury if you want. Or they were in Japan for a year or whatever. You can do that too. But, you know, you're the one that is deciding. And you actually – and then, you know, the way I play it, we play the online version. The computer version. It's not, you don't have to necessarily play your games online, but the home team usually plays out the game. So that means for all decisions in game, you get to decide, okay, I'm going to take this pitcher out now. You know, there's a fatigue factor to it there. There's all sorts of cool things about it. Now you decide, okay, am I going to send this runner to home or am I going to hold him at third? Am I going to choose to do a hit and run? I decide how often they bunt, if they bunt ever. Yeah, I can be the Houston Astros if I want, non-cheating version. all sorts of cool stuff there. So it is a form of fantasy because we're composing our own teams of various, you draft players from the various pools and all that, but it's also playing out quote unquote real games.
Yeah, that's what seems pretty neat about it. I know it was made like in the 60s as a board game that people rolled the dice and, you know, checked out the cards like you're talking about. And then this is just my research in the last few days going online and the Windows version like you're talking about. I didn't go too deep into it because that's pretty interesting that you can actually do like almost pick the plays as they go type situation. I messaged you earlier in the week when I saw they have an app on your phone. So I downloaded the app and you can do a free like 6-league kind of simulation thing. It was pretty cool because it was taking players back from like 1960 to now and it did the draft for you. So you didn't have to draft it. They've been playing games. My team record's like 3-2 right now, but I don't make any decisions. I just go. Can you, like the league you're in, do you actually go online? Like there's a set time to play the game or do you play it when you want to play it? How do you go about deciding when you're going to like make your moves and everything?
Oh, you do it when you do it when you're ready to go. You play it unless it's like a playoff game, then you're supposed to get online and do net play and you just have to just schedule with your competitor. And if you want during the regular season, you could do that too. It's just usually more expedient just to run your own home games. And that's the way it's the home team runs their part of the schedule. So you set your manager file and it sets all your preferences for you. Do you want to be aggressive with stolen bases? Do you want to be conservative? Do you set your lineup for lefties versus righties. If you really want to dive into it, you can set a certain lineup for that opposing team's pitcher if you happen to be running against them. And the whole idea is you look ahead to what we're supposed to do too is set our starting pitcher schedule for the month. So, and we run the games every month on a monthly basis. And so you kind of can look ahead and see, okay, he's got two lefties and a righty schedule for this week. This might be a time to sneak in an extra game for my backup catcher. Maybe I'll do that because you're limited also in the amount of plate appearances they've had over the previous season. So our rule is you can have like 25%, 125% of that player's playing time, basically. Okay. And you'll find that it's because we don't have pickups in season. Mm-hmm. We don't have, like they do, the ability to call guys up, send guys down when someone gets hurt. So you kind of have to manage the innings appropriately and the at-bats appropriately. You don't want to use them all up by the end of the season, especially if you're in a playoff race. And you want to be able to – and there's penalties for overuse. You'll lose players if you overuse them too. So, managing that the player's time is also an important skill.
Okay, that's interesting. So there's more to it. Like you said, it's not just your standard fantasy league. It's almost more like you're a real-life baseball GM. Right. And
GM and manager and base coach, and trainer, really, in a way, because you're trying to manage these guys.
And that brings a lot of fun to it if you're like a diehard baseball fan. If you're just kind of the novice that wants to just play fantasy and rack up points and try to win some money in the NFBC or something, this might not be for you. But if you like the strategy of the game and everything, that's interesting. With your league that you have going, and if people go online, they can see the different options. Do you have to buy the new set of cards every year or does it just keep updating?
Yeah, you do. And in my case, you're downloading a file, basically. You could get the physical card set if you want. They still do that. You have a local league, that's great. Although
That'd be awesome.
In today's day and age, well, maybe not as much. Got an advantage. True. But this league's kind of crazy, too. Not only is it the 30 leagues, but there's some really awesome players. Todd Zola's in this league. Dean Peterson from Stats Inc., he's used to be in Tout Wars, but longtime guy in our industry. Brendan Roberts used to be at the ESPN. He's another great industry guy. Are all in this league. Jason Gray used to be in it. Joe Sheehan used to be in it. For obvious reasons, Jason can't be in it now. And Brendan's now at the Athletic too. I want to make sure I give him credit where he's at. I just want not just formerly ESPN, but the funny thing is it's some of these old school guys that have the best teams that aren't industry guys. And in fairness, they probably put more time into it and do it right. I'm going to have probably 16 to 20 leagues this year for mm-hmm. Roto,
four score sheet teams in this strat team. So unfortunately, I can't treat it like I should to do it properly. But, you know, it's fun. And now I'm going to have more time than ever. It's kind of crazy. Like early on, we're starting our season a month earlier. Usually we don't start our season. We don't start playing the games until May 1st. We do that stagger on purpose because, you know, everybody's got their drafts and their other leagues. And for those of us that are industry types, I mean, the run up to the opening day is obviously crazy. And so that's just one thing we can kind of wait on a little bit there. But now I'm like so thankful that I've got this.
Yeah, that's why I think it's the fun conversation to talk about. Because I remember there was an old card game when I was younger, and you had the dice, and you got packs of cards, and you collected it, and they had the numbers on them, and then you made your roster, and you went and sat down and played someone, and it was a ton of fun. So it kind of has the same element to that a little bit. Obviously, more inclined if you're talking about, you know, going second to home on a single, stuff along that nature. You mentioned you set your stuff every month, your lineups and all that stuff. And on the app, it has those options, like your left-handed lineup, your right-handed lineup. It's pretty cool. It's actually so far so good. You can read write-ups in the morning if you want, or how the games went the night before. It's kind of neat. I'm starting to slowly get the hang of it. On average, how long does it take you every scoring period or every time you sit down to set and form all the stuff you want to feel comfortable going into that next period?
So it'll take me, if I'm doing it right, 45 minutes to an hour, but you can do it in 15 minutes if you want. And play the games, it's usually about a half an hour per game. I think there are some autoplay options if you want, but I don't want to do that. I want to actually play the games out. And one of the things we're supposed to do too is we do some write-ups after the game. Some people get more creative than others. You know, they Hal, as we like to call it, because the founder of Stratomatic, his first name's Hal. Hal actually will do an auto-generated write-up, but I like to do my own instead. And
you guys all do your own write-ups on there too?
Say that again.
You guys all do your own write-ups?
Most people don't. I'm just enough.
That'd be so much fun though. That'd be fun.
It's more fun to do it that way.
Yep.
Even if it's just a headline, you know.
Yeah.
Just something like that. But you know, I'll create some elements there and all that. It's fun. I mean, let's face it. Anything you do, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. The more fun it is to try to do that. And I enjoy it. Not everybody wants to do the write-ups, but some people do, and it's great. And I like it when they do. And I'll tell you what, though, these guys have been playing for longer than I have. And I've been playing like maybe 6, 7, 8 years. There's some guys that are really good players. And, you know, just because they're not quote unquote industry guys doesn't mean that I have this special font and knowledge that makes me better. I try to know the player pool really well, but there's, as always with any game, it's knowing the players and knowing the game itself. If you're any sort of gamer, you got to know the little details that make that particular game tick. And I'm sure you'll experience this the more you do it, that Strat has its own set of rules and set of idiosyncrasies that make it a lot better.
Yeah, it's like your good buddy Clay Link likes to say, know the league format. Yeah. It goes so much farther in the makeup here. And I've heard you talk about it where splits come into play, so many more things when you're picking your roster. What kind of strategies, if you know, you say you're starting a league now, what kind of draft strategies or team forming strategies would you kind of have in mind now that you've played, you know, 6, 7, 8 years?
I think defense is overlooked a lot. And that's one of the things I think Strat will get you to appreciate is who really is strong defensively. And, you know, granted, there are good defensive stats out there, zone ratings, war, defensive war, you know, a lot more that you can dig into too. Baseball Info Solutions has got great stuff. You know, Baseball Savant's now coming out with more and more stuff. All the StatCast era, we're getting some more, better and better data. But, you know, prior to that, you know, when we play our roto leagues, we care about defense in so much as it gets our players playing time, but we don't really care about it from a gaming standpoint. Well, here you have to. So I think it, you know, getting that strong defense up the middle is kind of really important. It's a big deal there. You factor in durability a lot more. You factor in the ability to identify splits. Like I was able to fake third base for a number of years, just do a Derek Dietrich, David Freeze combo. Now, not going to talk about defense there, but the on-base skills with their platoon splits was perfect. Of course, Freeze in his last year, he killed righty, so it kind of messed things up a little bit, and Dietrich kind of imploded last year. But it's fun. You can I've found that ability to find platoons, be your own Earl Weaver, if you will, it's fun to be able to pull that off. And we have the roster size to do that. The major leaguers don't necessarily, although we still keep like an active 25 each month, and manage the usage accordingly. But it's nice to find your Renicky Lowenstein out there.
I love it. So you have a 40, you have a 40 man team, but you keep a 25 man roster. Okay. So I like that. And when you're, I guess, is there a salary cap when you're drafting this team, or is it just kind of a go for it?
Not in ours. Okay. It's basically just you keep your players, and we don't have a full 40 man either. Okay. We're a little less than that. Although we try to, we eventually keep in mind though, we're in a 30 team league.
Yeah,
if you play in, you know, if you play in other formats, you know, in other leagues, you know, it might be, the roster rules might be different too, but no, we don't have salary components. I'm sure there's a way to make that work. I'm sure I haven't played the game that like a lot, I think that's being offered for this year that they're, you know, running that out right now. But you know, it can be done. I'm sure you can find a way to do salary components. And I know there's other sim games out there that do. I know one out there that used to be that you would take a franchise and you'd get their payroll, which is just crazy to think about. But
man,
yeah, just to play in a game, play against, you know, you be the Pirates and someone else gets to be the Yankees. No, thank you. I don't want that challenge.
That seems like a little much. That's interesting. So, all right. So we got the rosters, we got a little bit different format and everything in play there. You said you're in a 30 team league. When you played like your first year, you're probably learning a lot of new things. Like you said, different format and everything. For someone that just wants to go and have fun for this year while we're waiting for baseball to come, maybe it catches on in the future, but just wants to go have fun. Do you have any kind of recommendation on maybe what size league to form? Because I think you can go like 6, 12, 24 on the website. Do you have any preference if just to have fun league?
I mean, I think it really depends on who you're playing with. I mean, if you're playing against randoms and it's your first time, I'd probably just do a 12. I think 6 would be all stars. That'd be a little too small for my liking. I love the deep dives. You know, like our late great buddy, Lar Michaels, he loved finding those diamonds in the rough. Lar used to be in this league too, actually.
He would have been amazing in this league.
He was a lot of fun in this league. Lar lived for our strat drafter. And the thing about, you know, thing about strat too, is like you get that rookie pool and you're all excited about, people would actually try to get those stock, those, you know, if you're rebuilding, you know, you sell off your parts so you can get a couple of top five picks if you can and get Bryce Harper after his rookie year, get that card. And, you know, being able to see that potential before they become a star, so you can get those second and third round picks to be worth something in a, you know, 30 team leagues, it's a long time before you get another bite out of that apple. But in a smaller league too, I mean, I like to typically build my offensive core, you know, pitching, you know, I think when you're ready to compete, if you're in a keeper league and I think that's when you start adding the aces. You maybe even hit trade picks for aces, trade some young guys for aces when you've already built your core of a lineup. But I prefer to build the core of the lineup first, just because I feel like they're less prone to injury.
No, that makes a ton of sense. If you're building in a rebuild, definitely get the bats, load up there, and move to the pitching after. When we're talking about the player cards and the stats used for the game, we're using the previous season stats, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So that makes things interesting as well, because you mentioned, you know, Derek Dietrich had a good first half, but so he might be a little more beneficial this year than he was on last year's, possibly.
I'm sorry, who is the player again?
Derek Dietrich.
So, you know, for a couple of months, he was looking pretty good. All right. You know, those homers were looking pretty good. He had that hot streak. Then he got hit on the wrist and he wasn't the same. So, yeah, and the thing about Dietrich, too, is hit by pitch is part of on base. And again, if you're not in Roto, yeah, that doesn't do much for you. Sure, you can score a few more runs, but in sim, getting that guy on base more often, well, yeah, I'll take that. Of course, you get hit on the wrist and then it ruins your season. And that's the downside of taking a lot of hit by pitches, I suppose. But his card isn't that great this year. In fact, I couldn't even get we have an even weirder structure. We have a 5-round draft and then a free agency draft after that. You can trade your draft slots. You can't trade your free agent slots. Okay. So I was trying to get like even a fifth round pick for him, and I couldn't. I just had to straight up release him. That was kind of a bummer. Although someone told me, he's like, oh, yeah, I would have traded you one before you was. Well, you had your chance and you didn't. So.
Yeah, you got to love people like that in the league. Oh, I would have done that deal. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I have a good story with that. It's not Roto related, but I went to Northwestern and graduated 2 years before we went to the Rose Bowl. I was in law school at the time, had a ticket lined up and a place to stay, but couldn't afford the flight out there. Literally like 7 or 8 people after the fact just, oh, I would have lent you the money to fly out there because, you know, I was waiting for the loan check to come. And my parents were like, no, we can't buy your ticket for you. I was like, okay, I'll just watch it with my friends that, you know, the couple of friends that didn't get to go to the game. But and now I live in LA, and everybody I know that didn't go to Northwestern still went to that game because it was Northwestern versus USC. And it was a novelty item. And, you know, and my wife went to the game. She has no Northwestern connection. She went to the game.
I bet Scott Jenstead went to the game probably.
What's that?
I bet Scott Jenstead went
to
the game.
As a matter of fact, he did. Yeah. Not at all. He never reminds me of that either. So it's all good.
Not at all. Speaking of the Rose Bowl, now that you live in the area, have you at least attended a Rose Bowl game?
I've been to like 3 or 4. Yeah. Okay. I have another Stanford buddy, and I've gone to a couple of his teams. And actually, when my wife and I were dating, we went to Wisconsin Stanford the year Ron Dayne was still with Wisconsin. Nice. So I've been to, I think, 3 Rose Bowls now. Yeah. I'd go again. It's a great time. It's an incredible place.
I've told people that so many times. I've been there for 2 Wisconsin ones, and it's an experience. Like you don't get.
Are you a cheesehead?
I'm kind of an adopted cheesehead. I've lived in California my whole life, but I have a couple of great friends that live in Milwaukee and Madison. So I used to go back once a year to Madison, and once I went to Camp Randall one time, it pretty much converted me. So, okay, cool.
So where are you based? Where are you at?
I'm about an hour south of Monterey.
Okay, cool.
So I'm a little small farming town in King City, California.
Okay, cool.
Off the 101.
I've seen the signs for King City on that drive up. I think it's up the off the 101, right?
Yep, off the 101. So if you're heading towards Stanford, you're going right past us.
Yeah, there's I think the bus trip up there always stops at King City, if I recall correctly, or whatever.
Yeah, there's like three fast food places and a Starbucks all in one little parking lot. So the buses always stop there.
I recall that from our drive up north.
So yeah, that's my little world. But the Rose Bowl, it's awesome. So fun. Any other things on Stratomatic? I think we covered the basis of it. I think it's a great concept. I'm going to probably dig in some more and maybe start a little league for some listeners or whoever just to kind of play, get our baseball fix. Anything else you'd have on Stratomatic?
On base is life. Make sure you get a lot of good on base guys. It goes a long way. And make sure you get enough innings. That's always the thing. It's any sim game. You start to realize just the value of durability and getting enough innings and score sheets, getting enough starting pitchers, period. And Strat is just getting enough innings and trying to make sure you get that covered for you. Otherwise you're going to run into a world of hurt. Sometimes you get depending on the league, we used to have a generic player we could put in that was, you know, bad innings guy, you know, it would always be like Christy Mathewson or some other, you know, X player, but with like a 9 ERA or whatever. You know, he's great, except he's dead. So he's got a 9 ERA. So, you know, and that's what you'd get to make up. So make sure you put a little, you know, value on durability among your starting pitchers.
That's good to know. You mentioned score sheet. I've heard of score sheet. I've heard of OOTP, out of this park baseball as well. Are there anything that you could maybe like little quick hits on those that you mentioned? I know everyone's going to try everything right now to play. I know the Athletic is pumping OOTP all the time. So
I haven't played that yet. Heard it's great. Heard it's fantastic. Would like to try that at some point. Score sheet, I love. Jeff Barton and I, you know, he's another California guy. He lives north of the Bay Area, north and east of the Bay Area. But I've been playing score sheet for over 10 years, and it's a great game. And that's contemporaneous. It's you know, it's simming, you know, basically the previous week's stats with your roster. And that's a lot of fun. And that's where, like, you know, getting the innings are super important for score sheet. But, and again, on base matters more. Finding, you know, with your relievers, you don't have to pay for the brand name closers because you're not chasing saves. You're just trying to find good pitchers. And, you know, that's liberating. You know, you can find a lot of unheralded relief gems when you're filling out the back end of your roster. And you can pay attention to these guys getting called up. What do they throw? Velocity is one of the things I pay attention to. John Main, a really good score sheet player, drove that point home. I do a score sheet mock every year, and he and another guy named Nate Stevens are the two best score sheet players I know.
Nice. If you had to pick one or the other for a brand new player, which one do you think is more easy to adapt to, score sheet or Stratomatic?
That's a good question. Score sheet can be a little bit of daunting at first, because I think the website's a little harder to navigate a little bit. I'm used to it, so I'm fine with it. I think, you know, score sheet's great because it's real-time results. Strat's great because you know what they've done and you've got a lot of control and you're actually playing the games out, at least your home games. And you can make the decision in game. Whereas score sheet, it's all an engine driving it. It's a sim engine driving it. It's great. It does the job. It's like asking me between choosing tacos and beer. I like both.
Got you. And they go well together.
Yes,
so perfect combination there. So, yeah, if anybody has any questions, obviously, you know, Jeff's around and other people. I know Paul Spohr is big in OOTP, and there's a few other ones. So I'm just curious about it. I'm going to keep digging in on it, and I'm gonna end up playing something because I need baseball in my life. So that's just the way it's going to go. But I want to ask you a couple fantasy questions before we wrap up here. And I know people can listen to the RotoWire podcast and get all the info from you, but I just wanted to get it here. With the idea of a shortened season, like I'm trying to stay optimistic. I know you guys are as well. You know, maybe give me 100 games or something. Long shot stuff here. But how are you approaching that right now? What's your kind of strategy on looking at players? And maybe, you know, we're going to start drafting again eventually. How are you? What's your thought process?
So the last draft I did was last Wednesday, and that was an auto new league, which was a keeper league. So I was filling in. Last full-time one was AL Tout Wars. And at that point, you know, it was 2 days after spring training facilities had closed. And spring training hadn't been canceled yet. You know, it was a little different. We thought there was a chance. We didn't know the extent of this absence. So I didn't really change too much. You know, I assumed like guys like, you know, I did AL Tout. So Verlander would get back a little sooner. This is before they actually announced his surgery, I'm pretty sure. And so, you know, I actually did discount him a little bit, but others, you know, like Chrysalis targeted him. I wasn't actually targeting some of these guys. I did target Jesus Luzardo a little bit because I figured that his fewer innings would matter less. That's one adjustment I did make. And I think you can do that with a lot of these guys. I think the difference between like Luzardo versus Lance McCullers, though, is McCullers didn't pitch at all last year. So I'm still going to discount him. I'm still going to discount AJ Puck because he had the shoulder issue too and limited innings last year, whereas Luzardo was free flowing this spring. So that's the difference. You know, as this goes longer, it's actually harder to handicap in a way because we don't know how big of a schedule it's going to be. There's some talk that they want to try to get 140 games. Others are like, well, we might not play till July. It might be 100, might be 80 for all we know. Frankly, I'll take 80. I'll take anything. Yes,
at this I'll point. Take anything as well.
But and the question on younger players can skew both ways. One, that they might just say, okay, it's a short season. We need to compete right now. The others are, well, you know, I'm going to try out this veteran and we have a compressed schedule. And if he gets off to a good start, they may not even call up the prospect. So, you know, it's hard to handicap that. So I haven't changed a lot yet. I think there's just specific players here and there.
That's been my thing, is I've heard the argument for the younger players get played more, but at the same time, it's like, do you really trust that they're going to, you know, come out guns blazing? Even Mike Trout struggled out the gate. Then it might be a quicker hook to go back to the minors. So that could,
right,
that could be different as well. I think one fun argument, like Matt Modica and others have talked about, because, you know, Jesus Luzardo, like you mentioned, is a popular name that's getting pushed up, and for valid reasons, with the innings limit not meaning that big of a difference. But some people are saying it kind of makes them even with some others where there's so much volatility that the elite pitchers aren't as elite anymore. Where I kind of believe that elite pitchers are still even better because they have less error in what they do. How do you look at maybe elite pitchers versus pitchers gaining more innings per se.
Yeah, I'm not changing for the most part. I mean, I'm adding Clevinger back to the elite pile. And I'm in a 15 teamer. If we do get a main event again at some point, I'm probably still going to be pretty fixated on getting an ace in the first few rounds, if possible, if it makes sense. I mean, here's the tricky part is if you've got a top three pick, I'm still going to take one of the top three hitters. That's probably not going to change. But at pick four, I might be more inclined to take that ace instead of Bellinger or Burks. I know Bellinger is going back to the number four spot. I've seen in a lot of the leagues that have been tweeted out since the shutdown. I think I'd be more inclined still to go with DeGrom or Cole.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think the elite to the elite are still going to overpower the rest of those other options there. Luis Robert, I like to just call him Lou Bob because I want to call him Robert. It just seems appropriate, but it's not. He's been a kind of volatile name right now. I was looking at stuff over the weekend, and since the cancellation of spring and the postponement of the season, he's slowly dropping in ADP. But then, lo and behold, NFBC tweets out the first six rounds of a DC last night, and he went in the second round. What are you doing with a guy like Lou Bob?
Oh, I'd ignore that pick. You know, outliers are outliers.
What was worse, that or Starling Marte at two?
Well, I heard the backstory on that one. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. But like, have a drink beforehand. You have the second pick.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the number two overall pick in the draft, and you said now's the time to walk away and not have anybody in your queue. It almost sounds like a story they made up to cover the embarrassment, but
yeah.
I don't know. Funny thing is, I got him, Luis Robert, in the FSGA draft back in January. It was like maybe less, no more than a week after he had signed the extension, but it was like the ninth round still on a 14 teamer. So I thought that it was still a reasonable cost. The cost has graduated to non-reasonable levels since then, in my opinion. And I've also kind of personally cooled off a little bit because I feel like batting average might be a concern. So I am Burger King. I'm trying to have it both ways. But I don't think that I'm going to get him any more unless his price keeps dropping quite a bit. But you know, I think the reason being is that and batting order are the concerns with me. He could be batting eighth for the White Sox, and I don't want him there. Not at the price of 60 to 70 to 80 overall.
Yeah, it goes back to last year's argument with Victor Robles batting eighth and people dropping him down to like around the 80s to 100 pick, and people thought that was crazy. I think that's the comparison I'm trying to go with for now and see where that goes. When do you feel like you're going to start dipping your toe back in the draft waters? Do you want to wait for a kind of announcement on a structured season, or are you going to kind of get the itch here pretty soon?
I'm going to get one more online championship in before the deadline. I'm going to try to do a beat Jeff Erickson too on the road to and I think the deadline's still April 15th on that, so I'll get one in before that. But I wanted to kind of take a pause myself, especially because I had three drafts immediately after the shutdown. Did Yahoo Friends and Family, had Tout Wars, and then had an Otter New draft last week. So I kind of wanted to just let everything settle, but you know, I want to support Greg and Tom too for the NPC. Yep. They do great stuff, and you know, there was previously a demand for another Beach F. Erickson draft, so I think I'll probably get that scheduled by the end of the week here. I'll figure that out sometime in April. I'll do that, and then whenever they schedule the mains, I'll still do that. I've got another home league we're waiting for, another reserve, you know, and then another resume a keeper league draft too. So I've got a lot still on my plate, but you know, I'll get back into it a little bit more. And then, I almost forgot. So Derek Van Riper, our former RotoWire guy now with The Athletic,
he did something
for football called the Pentathlon. Mm-hmm. He's going to do the baseball triathlon, where we do an AL auction, an NL auction, and a mix auction. Scott Jensen and I are teaming up together to do to own the franchise together. And we're going to split up the labor there. So I'm adding more leagues to my plate this year.
Just what you needed, Jeff. More leagues. No, nothing wrong with that. But I think that's a phenomenal. I heard you and Scott talking about that. DVR comes up with just genius ideas.
Oh yeah,
with like the pentathlon was an awesome idea, and then this triathlon, it's I think it's sneaky good. Sneaky good.
And let's not forget too. He's for our entry fees are all going towards a food kitchen that he's trying to support it for charity. So in these times. So again, he's a real one. He's a good dude, and he came up with yet another good idea.
Yep, no, he's awesome, and that it goes with good causes even better. So I'm all about that. Last question I have for you. This is more just a fun question. Doesn't have to be fantasy related. You as a Reds fan, and me as a non-Reds fan, as a Giants fan, I've actually loved what the Reds have done this offseason. I really liked, you know, they have kind of a decent staff and the offense is just huge. Obviously, we don't get 162 games, but when we kick things off again, what's your optimism with this club in the NL Central?
I mean, getting off to a good start is ever more important, right? And the Reds learned that lesson last year when they started off 1-8. They went out and tried to acquire more offense. I hope it's enough. I still see shortstop and catcher as being weak spots. And, you know, frankly, first base, unless I hope Joey Votto's got something left in the tank and he can recover. That's like the big one for me. I love the pitching. I love the pitching coach. I like that they added Kyle Boddy to their staff. They added all sorts of technology at their camp and all that. So I'm excited about what they did. And I'm also encouraged by the lack of improvement by the Cubs and the Cardinals in the division. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee, we'll see what they did is an improvement or just turning over. And then there's Pittsburgh, who's just sitting in the corner flinging poo, not trying to do anything. Don't get me wrong. I feel bad for Pirates fans because they're, let's face it, Pittsburgh and Cincy are very similar as franchises. Similar financial backgrounds, city size, all that sort of stuff. I don't really hate on them, although I hate on the Steelers, but that's another story. When you have an owner that just refuses to invest in his product and then complains about not being able to compete, don't get me started. But anyways, it's a good time to try to be trying in this division. Mm-hmm. The Cubs might be showing some weaknesses here and there. The Cardinals, you know, they've got some interesting young outfielders, but they've also got a lot of question marks.
Yeah, the Cardinals didn't really, you know, improve their offense a ton unless the youth shows up. And the Cubs eventually going to start paying some guys or trading them. So it's going to get real interesting in those respects. And I echo your thoughts on the Pirates. Like, there was a point there where they had such a good team, and they just let it all go. So
And of course, the one time they go for it, they make the Chris Archer trade.
One of the worst trades ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Horrible. But all right, Jeff, we'll wrap it up on that note. Why don't you let everybody know what you have going on at RotoWire that they can keep occupied their fantasy baseball itch?
Sure. We're still cranking out the content. I've got a FOMO article that's going to be going up soon. I got to finish writing that up. Had a little bit of writer's block for about a week, but I'm cranking now. Todd Zola's still doing regular work. A lot of articles up on the site. James Anderson's still cranking out the article, prospect articles. We still have 5 podcasts a week for baseball. And one with Alan Harrison just went up today, so you guys can check that out too. Hopefully you enjoy it. And of course, football is still cranking there on RotoWire too. So rotowire.com/free gets you a free 10-day trial. If you're not already a subscriber there, hopefully you like it so much. You want to subscribe, but check it out. Give it a whirl.
Yeah, I got told James and the others that have joined me before. I've been a subscriber since my college days, so well over a decade now.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
No problem. I told people like the stuff, the content's great, the people are great. So yeah, try the trial out. You won't regret it. Like it's good stuff. But Jeff, we will have to do this again once we have a set season in play and talk some real fantasy baseball.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, everybody, this is Bench with Bubba, episode 266 with Jeff Erickson. Catch you guys later.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.